The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Seems like we're all bound, seems like we're all bound. Like fire beneath our feet, there's no coming
ground. No fear, no fear, blood, sweat, no tears. My God, it's God's grace I'm here. Yeah. No fear, no fear, blood, sweat, no tears. My God, hope I make it through the years. No fear, no fear, blood, sweat, no tears. My God, it's God's grace I'm here.
No. Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max's NXT Brooklyn 3. That's right. We are excited. This is TakeOver Part 3 of Brooklyn, and I am so stoked about it. I can't even get it right. That's how excited about it I am. it's just amazing. I just came on here. Apologize, guys. I mean, I did the wrong thing. I watched little TV after watching Brooklyn. It screwed me up, but I am so happy to be here. And, of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is the most awesome Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And the man made of greatness, Sean Garmer.
Wow. It's made a greatness now, so I don't know how to respond to that. But like
that means that you now have to get a tattoo over your Brahma Bull tattoo.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just make it look a lot weirder and stranger, and then people will celebrate because they don't know what you did to the regular one. But anyway, enough about The Rock and Sean trying.
When he explained it kind of made a little more sense.
Yeah, he got to be. Adult,
when you
right?
first look at it, it's like, oh my God, wow, that's an art piece on somebody's arm now.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man. So I mean, tonight is going to be really fun, and we'll be talking about other crazy things, I'm sure, during this show. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be definitely an interesting show because we've got a lot of superstars that'll be taking place in their own matchups on SummerSlam. So you'll be able to talk a little bit about those people that are, you know, are here and there sprinkled in this show. Plus, we've got some big surprises and some interesting topics because when we previewed this show, we had a lot stronger opinions going the other way on a few of these matches. So I'm really stoked about this. So we are going to jump in to TakeOver Brooklyn Part 3 now. And let's get into this thing, guys. Let's say they started this thing off by rocking their socks off. That's right. They had a band, you know, really just pumping the crowd up live and playing a promo package through the video, going back and forth.
Really pumping them up?
Yeah, I was just trying to say that to be nice. Let's be honest, we weren't there. TV's a little bit different, right? You really can't tell honestly sometimes how the crowd was reacting, but they all clapped afterwards. So, I mean, didn't hear a lot of boos.
I mean, they're not going to, I don't know if they're going to boo them necessarily, but I don't know. It is what it is, right? At least they didn't do an intermission with it.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, Paul, is this a bad way to start a show? Do you think that the live band thing probably should not be something they do?
For just them playing musical acts, yeah. I don't mind live acts playing wrestlers to the ring or anything like that, but I felt like this kind of killed the crowd coming right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all ready for the NXT chant, and they were doing it, and then suddenly the music takes over, and then they're just like, well, okay. Guess we'll sit here on our hands for a little bit.
Yeah, that is true. It feels so funny to me watching it through TV because we don't get that same feeling. You know, it's like watching a concert on TV. You kind of feel like you're listening to an album or something because you're not really getting that feel of being there with the, you know, the bass and all that just going through, vibrating you. You just kind of have to live it through the TV. So I don't know. The crowd, you're right. It did kind of make them kind of come out kind of funny because they just – did their nice polite clap, and they were excited when they first got their, you know, big entrance with Johnny Gargano, right? And of course, Gargano and Almas start this thing off, and man, the crowd was really pumped when Gargano came out. They had a pretty good reaction for Almas, I think, too. They had a special match here, if you ask me, guys. I really was excited about seeing what they could do, and both these guys, to me, put a pretty darn good match on. I was very happy with what I saw here. And interesting enough, I mean, we had Gargano look really strong, but in the end, we have Vega screwing up the whole thing for Johnny Wrestling. That's right. She threw a DIY shirt at him. He got a little distracted, and the next thing you know, Almas takes him down for the 1-2-3. So, you know, we got seeing Almas taking home the victory, but Gargano walked out of this looking good, if you ask me. Paul, what was your thoughts on this one?
This is a great match, right? They start out with some lucha, they work the ground game, and then they get into the fast-paced stuff that you were sort of expecting from them, and down the stretch, this just got really hot. It was a great closing 4 or 5 minutes, and I really do enjoy the way they finish this, right? Like, Vega plays the part that we all knew she would, throws the DIY t-shirt at Gargano, Almas takes advantage, that's all she wrote. The best little part, though, to me, was Gargano after the match just sort of sitting there in the ring holding his head staring at the t-shirt. Like, that told the whole story right there.
Yeah, I saw people, you know, and that was what's so good about it, too, right? They did this so well with the t-shirt that hardly anyone complained about, oh, you just had a distraction finish to open the show, because it tells the story for both guys. It tells the story of Zelina is, you know, has been a lucky charm for Almas. She continues to do that. And then you got the Johnny Gargano looking at the shirt and having to remind himself about Tommaso Ciampa. So, you know, no matter where he goes, even if he's not there, he gets reminded. And it's a way to cap off a wonderful match to open the show again. You know, we talked about almost every time he gets in the spot, he delivers. And then you add Johnny Gargano to it, and it sets up a great match between these guys. Hot way to open the show. Absolutely just killer. And it sets that tone, right, where everybody else has to match. And they definitely made everybody else bring it to another level.
And they sure did. And you know what, Sean? I mean, what's funny about this is you guys know how much I, you know, kind of looked at DIY and said Johnny Gargano was kind of the second favorite for me because I love Ciampa so much. But separately in a singles form,
do we know.
I know. Hey, trust me, people don't want to hear that right now because we got to focus on Johnny Wrestling. But yes, you're right. But, you know, I kind of now, without, you know, Ciampa by his side, I've kind of fallen more for this Johnny Gargano character. I just love it. I love the entrance, too. I think they did a great job with, you know, his singles entrance and the way they present him. And I also like, you know, him just being able to have that free form and getting his opportunities in there to really be the focus of the match, because as a tag team wrestler, a lot of times you kind of have to play the formula and you don't get a chance to really shine. And I think this is the perfect format. This is the perfect opportunity. And I think Gargano took it and he really showed me something great. And now I'm taking a step forward and I think I'm going to be behind this guy a lot more. I'm really excited about seeing what he's doing. And heck, I'm even happy. I keep talking about it over and over again, but Almas has come so far. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect example of that, because if you would have told me this is the guy that we saw half a year ago, 6 months ago, I would have laughed at you and said, there's no way that's possible. And here we are. And I have to think to myself, okay, it's sure. It's great that he has a manager or valet, whatever you want to call her. But what's great is the fact that his whole attitude changed and his presentation in the ring is so much more different, so much more aggressive. I'm just happy overall. So, nonetheless, what a great way to start this show.
Well, I think it's not only her. I think it's him. He's finally starting to embrace the change of style and everything else and understanding that, you know, sometimes it's not going to come to you right away. And he's gonna battle through. And I think every time we've seen him in this match, he keeps getting better, better, and better. And just it connects more, it's smoother. He's not just doing stuff just to do stuff. So it's a lot is on him as well.
That's a great point. And Paul, I mean, from what Sean just said, it must be a difficult task. You know, these people that are coming into NXT sometimes are guys and gals that are from the indie circuit that do get a chance to be more free with whatever they're doing in the ring, and then coming into a situation where a lot more, you know, sports entertainment is thrown in their game, and a different way of doing things in the ring. Is this, Sean just said it about Almas, but what do you think about that learning curve?
I mean, it's certainly there, right? I think everybody to a certain degree has gone through it. It's some people, I think working in the States at least more often helps you adapt quicker just because there is I think the WWE has very much adapted a lot of the US independent style to how everything works, especially because so much of his roster is coming directly from there now. But Almas had a longer road ahead of him just because you see CMLL is very much a old school traditional promotion and trying to mold everything he came from, plus having to learn English, plus everything WWE throws at you. I can imagine it was probably a lot. And you know, really, I think since that takeover match with Roddy, he's found it. Like, he found his niche, he found what works for him, and here we are now with a successful act and a lot of pieces to the puzzle. I think the same could be said for Gargano too, right? I mean, somebody who I think, I don't know about struggled, but certainly I think had to find something, some way to stick out from everybody else. And he got fortunate to be stuck in a tag team with Ciampa, and those two really just got to your heart with the babyface stuff. And I think you're seeing it now in the singles run too, where all of that love is just carried over. His shirt sold out at Brooklyn, for God's sakes. Like, that's insane.
Wow.
Yeah, he had the Cesaro section signs and all that kind of stuff for his match. If they had the face, the smiley face thing. So, people just love to cheer for him, and he earns every bit of that love with going out there performing and doing great.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. That smiley face, there's something about it. I want that t-shirt. So it's great. And, I'm excited about what these guys have in store in their future. So we will see as time goes on how they are presented. Let's talk about, really quickly before we jump into this big tag match, let's talk about the Skybox. That's right. They showed Kurt Angle. They showed Daniel Bryan in the box. I thought it was interesting, but it was also funny. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys get a kick out of the Skybox little segment that they kind of throw in there?
I kind of passed over Roddy and Kurt Angle talking because the iconic duo sitting next to Daniel Bryan doing the finger point thing just slayed me.
I loved it. Oh man, so yeah, I wish we would have got the audio. That was the only thing that kind of bummed me out. I wanted the audio of that, but maybe that'll be an exclusive somewhere. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about this big tag match. Authors of Pain come in as the tag champions for NXT, and they face off against Sanity. And all four members of Sanity are here and present. And boy, once again, this is TakeOver Brooklyn, and the entrances are going to be big. And Sanity kind of did their normal thing, but you had the Authors of Pain coming out in these uniforms and just looking like juggernauts. I mean, Sean, I mean, I kind of thought the presentation was kind of cool with the Authors of Pain.
I'm just glad they changed their colors. We don't have to have any more Roman impersonators or anything else with the other jackets. So, everybody had to have their own little special thing, and that was theirs, and I like that,
Yeah, and they come in, they are fired up, and they get in the ring immediately and start battling it out with Sanity. Don't even let the bell ring. These guys just go into it full force, and this fight ensues out of the ring. Eventually, things get kind of cleared up, and the bell is rung really quickly. And here we go. In this matchup, you get a chance to see these teams really take it upon themselves to really to work hard to destroy each other. But not only that, just find devious ways when it comes to maybe singling out some of the guys and finding those ways to kind of get the upper hand. We see Eric Young and Alexander Wolf work really well together in this matchup, and they kind of came in with a game plan. What's also exciting too is even when all the action spills out of the ring, you have Nikki Cross get involved, and you think that she's going to do something. Then you see Paul Ellery, which I wanted to see what he was going to do. I loved it. I was kind of pumped to see, you know, if he was going to, you know, be attacked by her, or if there was going to be some kind of interaction. But him pointing his finger is all we got. Nikki Cross eventually jumps out of the ring and is caught by, I forget which one. Is it Razor?
I believe it was Akam.
Is it Akam? Okay, caught by Akam. And, you know, this just shows you how crazy Sanity is. You know, they don't call him Damo here. What do they call
Killian Dane.
Killian Dane. I'm stuck on Damo. I'm sorry. The indie circuit is still stuck in my head. Killian Dane basically runs through Nikki Cross and Akam and through a table. So that knocks all them out, and now, you know, you have this situation where it is now Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and they are by themselves and able to take out, you know, Razor, and 1, 2, 3, you have new tag champions, Insanity. And it's not what I thought at first. I thought they were going to have Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf, but no, Eric Young and Wolf are the ones that are going to be the tag champs here, which actually it makes more sense. So here we go. Really, you know, interesting. I think we predicted Authors of Pain, I think. I'm not sure. I can't remember if any of you guys chose Sanity. I know I didn't. But now it's a new era with the tag champs. Well, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I thought the Authors of Pain were going to walk out of this too. But I think they told a really great story here, right, where they have you thinking it's Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane. Dane never really gets into the match or starts it, so they do the switch with EY, and that leads to the big brawl later. And they have Sanity sort of play the baby faces because Eric Young gets the crap beat out of him. He meets the hot tag to Wolf, who comes in and really, I think, puts on an impressive showing of what he can do in the ring. I hadn't seen much of his work outside of the E before, and I don't think we'd ever really gotten a clear picture of what he could actually do until this match. And I think he just came out and wowed everybody, and then suddenly have all hell break loose, and these two teams do what they do best, and that's they just keep on brawling until Sanity finally gets the win. And I thought this was great. This is a really good match. The shocking finish was, you know, what it was. There's a lot of people thinking now AOP is the ones attacking Breezango and all that, but I'm a little bummed. I kind of wish AOP was still going to be in NXT or holding the belts at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, AOP attacking them is interesting. I think we'll have to see. I just hope that they can do enough. Now, if Vince winds up liking them and puts them and makes them dominant, then okay. But I just don't want them to get another Ascension run up there where, you know, Ascension were really dominant in NXT. They go to WWE, they aren't booked the same way. And you have them go up there and they falter on the main roster. Hopefully that's not the case for these guys. But either way, moving on from After Effects. Yeah, this match really surprised me. I thought, okay, they're putting this number two so that you can get hyped for the other three matches, which people are much more excited about. And then they go out there and they have this crazy brawl. You know, Nikki Cross gets involved. You know, you got a guy going through a table. I mean, they really found a way to make this impressive and add things onto it as it went on, too, which is a great part of storytelling of, you know, you start with the whole, you thought it was going to be one part of the team, it's another part of the team, and then Sanity wins, and hey, Eric Young, everywhere he goes, he wins championships, and he's finally done it there in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. And what's great is this is his first gold for Sanity, right? I mean, I don't think that they've won anything before this, if I'm not wrong. Making sure I'm not wrong on that. But this is so awesome and really good for Sanity because they've kind of been up and down. And they've really not got this straight shot, kind of like the Authors of Pain have gotten to be so dominant and be great and really kind of get the crowds behind them. The Sanity's been kind of, you know, hit and miss. So I'm thrilled for them. The Authors of Pain, I think they'll be fine. I you know, like Paul mentioned, there are some rumors going around about what the next step is for them. But, you know, we really don't know that truth until, you know, it actually happens. So I'll just say this. If Authors of Pain are sticking around in NXT, this is going to be a great feud continuing on. And if not, hey, now Sanity will go and do great things with the belts. I really do expect that. One thing I did not mention earlier when I set this up is that they did actually bring Corey Graves on commentary for this match, which I kind of appreciated. Corey Graves is one of my favorites now on the really honestly on any of the commentary booths in WWE. So to me, he was a great addition for this match. He added things to me.
Yeah, I thought he was great too. I mean, it's Corey Graves, right? We all know what this guy can do on commentary, and he brought what he usually does.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's also seemed to be a theme for the night, right? Where we're just going to bring in guest commentators. And
yeah.
I like that. I like that idea of having, you know, you have so many talents that are great. Why not use them?
Yeah, that's very much the truth. And, you know, for this next match we are going to talk about, when it comes to Hideo Itami and Aleister Black, we have Jim Ross come out to call this one. And it was kind of interesting to me because when it was this matchup and they said Jim Ross was going to call it, I was like, what's the significance here? Honestly, I thought Jim Ross was maybe going to do the Asuka Ember Moon match because, you know, the whole Mae Young Classic and his involvement in that. But, hey, I think Jim Ross did a fine job here calling this matchup with those guys over there at the NXT booth. And, you know, we get, you know, Hideo Itami coming in, getting a normal entrance. But boy, Aleister Black got his own entrance when it came to a live band, and it was pretty good. I mean, it's like we kind of talked about earlier in the show. It's a live band. You could only get so much out of it watching it on the network. But still, I think they did a fine job. I think the band really kind of did their thing and really made it special for Aleister Black and his entrance. And I think overall that was really good. We get the matchup here, though, and we got what Paul at first wanted, and it was lots of kicking. And I love the kickoff that they had here, literally. But, you know, they went on and progressed to this match, and Dale Itami started to kind of really work on Aleister Black and, you know, really kind of putting him through the ringer more than we've seen him go through. But, you know, Aleister Black, of course, you know, comes out and finds a way to get back in it. And one Black Mask later, he is now the winner of this match and continues to be undefeated. So, I mean, Sean, this guy, it just cannot be stopped even by a guy like Hideo Itami who has so much talent.
Well, and he shouldn't be because this guy is the next big superstar for NXT, I think. And I mean, we've said it many times, but he keeps proving that. And they had one hell of a match here, and I love the fact that they got to go out here, and Itami got to look strong and defeat as well. I hope that this, you know, whether it's internet making up things or it's him at one point probably did feel this way, but I hope this whole, oh, he might go back to Japan thing kind of dies because he keeps going out there and having strong performances, and his day is going to come. Like I keep saying for plenty of these people, it's sometimes, you know, when you're in NXT and you come in, you think that you know who's going to be the guy, and then someone like Aleister Black shows up, and he takes people by surprise, and he gets this following, and then he, you know, you see what he can do in the ring, and he becomes this, it becomes a bigger deal, right? And so he surpasses somebody else, and this is going to continue to happen through NXT's system for the life of it. It's what happens everywhere, right? We talk about this when we talk about preseason football, you know, all these guys that do well, and it happens everywhere. So I think people, they get upset and think, oh, Hideo Itami should have already had the title by now, or he should have been, you know, he should have been a bigger star. Well, you know, it's just another line of guys that it's going to be different. I think you got to see what makes him great. He can sit there and have this just bash it out style match with Itami, and Itami's laying it in there too, and then they just counter each other, and it just keeps going back and forth. And God, I feel like I could be watching the G1 with those two in there just going at it, and then the Black Mask out of nowhere. Just awesome. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I think for Hideo Itami, obviously injuries have been the story of his NXT career so far. But this match, I think you got to see a lot more charisma inside the ring from him than maybe you have his entire run so far, just because he seemed so gung-ho about proving that Aleister couldn't really compete with him, and he really dominated most of the match, I'd say. And then these two had these awesome striking exchanges throughout, and really the only thing that Itami couldn't account for is the Black Mass, and that's because it can come from the same place the RKO can, and that's out of nowhere. So this was a really great match. I was excited for it. I think it delivered on what I was looking for, even if I was hoping maybe the match would have been a little bit better.
Yeah. I think they were trying to do a few things, and maybe that's why it kind of affected maybe what you would call rating of the match itself, quality of the match. But I still think that it was really positive. I was really happy with what we got here. I loved Hideo Itami sitting down and cross-legged. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a perfect, you just mentioned that, lots of charisma and giving us something that, is so much different than we really are used to seeing with Hideo Itami. He's kind of been very bland. He's been, great in the ring when it comes to wrestling and striking and things like that. But outside of that, it's not much to hang your hat on. And I think here in this match, he really does a good job, and you feel like you're starting to kind of understand what Hideo Itami is about. And what kind of really struck me? When Hideo Itami actually was making his entrance and he stood there, I kind of thought to myself in a weird way, okay, now I understand what this is about and who this guy is. I don't know why it took this long or took this matchup and this entrance, but I kind of saw him in a different light. And I think this match did the same thing and really reaffirmed what I was thinking about during his entrance. And Hideo Itami, I definitely think, has a great opportunity here in NXT. I think his future could be brighter if he can stay healthy. I think they'll use him. I think they want to use him. And this is a great way to showcase him and what he can do. And, sure, he didn't win this match, but I'm sure the next feud he comes upon, he probably will be the guy being successful. So good stuff from Hideo Itami. I'm really happy with that. And Aleister Black, I'm going to be honest with you guys. When people ask me who my favorite WWE superstar is, it's not even on the main roster. It's Aleister Black. I love this guy to death. He is now my official favorite until something else happens. Really cool stuff. Really happy with this matchup. Let's move on. And I want to talk about something before we hop into these two big final matches we'll be getting into. We saw lots of superstars that'll be on SummerSlam. We saw Kevin Owens. We saw Nakamura. We even got Kalisto. We got Neville. Just many different superstars. And I really thought maybe that was a change of pace here. And I think it's a good way for them to really kind of promote SummerSlam. But not only that, I mean, it's also something that's kind of interesting for the fact that a lot of those guys were in NXT. And so that was something cool, too. You even had Baron Corbin. You had, Sasha Banks. You had, of course, all the girls like Bayley. And, I missed someone. Becky Lynch. All of them were there. And they're former NXT superstars, but they're also representing the main roster, and doing the SummerSlam promotion. I thought it was positive. Did you guys think it was a little overdone? Because there was lots of them, to be honest with you. Lots of pointing out and talking about SummerSlam during an NXT takeover, which that usually doesn't happen.
I think it sort of fits into the theme, right? I mean, NXT has now taken over the main roster, right? Most of the top acts across both shows and all the divisions have NXT on their resume. And that's really cool. I think that's something they're very proud of, and they wanted to show that off in a legacy sort of thing on this this particular takeover.
I think it's also at SummerSlam. Like, it's one of their, most biggest shows of the year. I think they want there to be that promotion because there could be the people that are only watching it for, this and just that, having that reminder of, hey, remember tomorrow is SummerSlam and these are some of the matches and whatever. I mean, look, you're building this whole weekend around that. Take every opportunity you have to promote it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And, what's kind of funny is, thinking about it, I really did kind of throw in that consideration that they're really promoting what's going on for SummerSlam. Everything really is revolving around that big pay-per-view. The one thing I did kind of think about, though, is this a way to throw in superstars from the main roster? And then you can say, oh, man, that show did really well. People were really happy there being in attendance. But, you know, they had Nakamura there in the front row. People wanted to see him and different things like that. And maybe take a little bit of the vision off of NXT, because people, you know, who do watch NXT, which is not the numbers that we get for, you know, the main roster, but still, there's this whole feud between NXT and the main roster when it comes to who has the better pay-per-view, and usually NXT wins. So it made me wonder if that's why you had a little bit of infiltration here. So, but yeah, that's just my speculation. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about a big matchup, and one that I think all of us are really curious to see how it would take place and who would come out victorious. Let's talk about the NXT Women's Championship match between Asuka and Ember Moon. And this is one that was, you know, being pumped up throughout the night. Of course, we got some of the backstage where you get to see the ladies walking and getting ready for this matchup, and you, of course, get to find out that Ember Moon's parents are there in attendance and their family members and all that. And, of course, Asuka is here, and she's the big task. She's a huge challenge to get past. And here we go in this matchup. And it didn't take Ember Moon very long after that bell rang to attack Asuka and wanted to get the upper hand early. And, you know, for quite a bit of this match, Ember Moon did just that. But Asuka got her licks in as well. And we got some pretty great action here. I'll let you guys kind of talk about some of the spots you appreciated more. But we got a moment there where we thought Ember Moon was going to be crowned the champion because she got to do with the Eclipse. But Asuka did kick out. And through a series of events, we actually have Asuka putting the Asuka lock on and actually making Ember Moon tap out. That's right. She didn't even get pinned. She had a tap and you know, lose her chance for the NXT Women's Championship. So now Asuka is still your champion over there in NXT. All the rumors and all the things that are kind of possibly maybe thrown out the window for now. I mean, Paul, I mean, this was a big matchup. This is something we were looking forward to. This was a little bit different than I expected. I really thought Ember Moon was going to take it home.
I agree with you. I thought it was Ember's time, and they thought otherwise. So Asuka gets to continue her reign unimpeded, and there's upsides to that too, right? I mean, she continues to look dominant. She's a huge star for NXT. They have all these great things going, and she seemingly is the show right now, while everything else in the other two divisions is sort of in flux, right? So this match hour was phenomenal. The Ember comes right out the gate and runs Asuka over, and some of the strikes these two exchanged were just absolutely disgusting, particularly their exchange on the outside after the dive I thought was pretty brutal. These two work so well together. They've had all the experience in the world, and they know how to make something real special, and they absolutely did here for sure. And the NXT crowd, after Asuka makes her exit, certainly give Ember Moon her just due. And you know, I mean, we talk about maybe needing to win often really helps crowds get behind you. But, I mean, Ember Moon hasn't let, I think, anybody down in either her performances with Asuka. She's clearly number two right now on the list of people in the division. And, I mean, she'll probably get another shot somewhere down the road. I just, you know, I don't know when or where that's going to happen, because it seems like they did this with Asuka to have a big moment going in maybe to the next takeover where the Mae Young Classic winner gets to challenge her for the championship.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, the way I'm looking at it, though, is Ember may come out looking strong to an extent, but at the same time, it's just Asuka's that one thing that she can't accomplish. She cannot get past Asuka. And you really start to question where she's at. Like, is she still that, you know, big star in this women's division for NXT, or is she just like anybody else, Billie Kay, you know, or Peyton Royce? Is she in that level? You just don't know. And I love the emotion. Ember Moon is really honestly someone you can kind of tell wears her emotions on her sleeve at times, even though she doesn't want to, I think, but she just does. So I feel for her. I feel for, you know, maybe some of the images people are starting to kind of come around to in their minds maybe about her. I still think she's great. I'm still excited about what she can do in the future. I do worry a little bit that her losses to Asuka may take a little bit of a hit to her.
I don't think any of that's there, honestly. I think Ember has performed and overly performed and delivered on big stages. I mean, you know where she's at, right? I mean, I feel like she is squarely in that number two position right behind Asuka, and maybe whoever you put her in a feud with next can get some rub out of it.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're right. I really do, because I like Ember Moon. I think she's one of the best talents. I agree with you on the number two spot. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. It's just I worry about the perception from other people, other than us, who follow this pretty closely. But, you know, maybe...
I think what also puts in there is that you have... But the thing is, why would there be a dispute for her number two spot? There's nobody else that's been, like, you know, Nikki Cross is a distant third. I mean, Asuka kind of had her big feud with her, and she kind of took her to the limit a little bit in that last woman standing match or whatnot. But, you know, Ember's the one that got her to the closest. And I think that's what was the point of that match, was to prove that Ember Moon had the ability to take her to that limit and win. Just Asuka was able to use some dirty tactics and also just be a little bit sharper, a little bit smarter in that way of kind of just waiting, lying in wait to pull on that Asuka lock there at the end out of desperation almost, because in every other facet, Ember Moon had her in this match, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to sit there and hate on what Ember did or anything like that. I mean, she was great in this. I think it says it all when Triple H tells Vince, the only person you can't come and grab is Asuka, during the Superstar Shakeup 1. So that tells you exactly where she is in the pecking order. And she is, until they decide that the next person to take her place, or it's not really about a who's going to take her place, or it's her time to come, okay, then move her along. But until then, she doesn't need to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right on that. You know, I think it's going to be something that I think people are going to watch back, and they're going to say, you know, Asuka's just too great right now. She's someone that, you know, is kind of like, I don't want to say Brock Lesnar, but she's someone that just seems to be impossible. Like, you have to be someone special to beat her. And that's fine. You kind of need that sometimes. You need those superstars. And so Asuka being that, being a major part of NXT is important. And I think Ember Moon will be fine. I just, you know, I'm a little bit nervous when I really get behind somebody and I really want them to do well. I get nervous when they're not succeeding as fast as maybe I want them to, you know, just that way. But yeah, I mean, just saying that, I mean, you know, Paul, you just mentioned the Mae Young Classic's coming up. There's that opportunity that maybe they have whoever the winner is of the Mae Young Classic being that next person and next opponent to take on Asuka. Wouldn't it be so interesting for that person to beat Asuka? I mean, when Viper wins this, do we really think that, you know, she's going to hold that NXT Women's Champion? Of course, I'm kidding. I have no idea if Viper is going to win. I'm just joking.
I mean, I've read spoilers, so I'm going to try not to get away, but yeah, I feel like that's the end goal here, right? You win something that's been promoted very heavily, I think, by the WWE, at least if you have the network. I mean, they've started doing it on the main shows as we get closer to the date. There's a big hubbub about it with the big announcement earlier this year. Like, they want this to be a really big deal, and hopefully whenever we get to Showtime where they start releasing the episodes, it feels like a big deal to everybody, and whoever does come out of this the winner has a whole lot of steam behind them. They've obviously would have won five matches to win the cup and or the trophy or whatever it's going to be. And maybe that, I mean, it seems like at this point it'll lead to a NXT Women's Championship match at the next TakeOver, which I believe is going to be in Houston for Survivor Series. So that might be a drive down to Houston for this kid right here. But either way, I think that could be really cool.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, I mean, with all that being said, there's a journey to follow. We're going to follow it. We'll move on, though, because, I mean, I think there's so much more here that we're going to be touching on in the near future, especially as those Mae Young Classics, you know, matches start happening. So, all right, well, let's move on to the main match here. And of course, that means we're talking about the NXT World Heavyweight Championship. And we have Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre both getting pretty awesome entrances. You know, Bobby Roode's was kind of a little bit normal. We've seen that one before. But McIntyre actually has, you know, the whole group of guys and kills and all that coming out, of course, with the bagpipes, which was kind of fun. It made it super special for Drew McIntyre. And, I mean, we get, you know, these two guys in the ring, and I'll say this, they both worked really hard. I love the fact that they didn't just stay in the ring, because a lot of these other matches, I mean, they had their own various type of things going on, but this one kind of took place in the ring, outside the ring. They used the ring apron a lot in this one. I mean, just honestly, these guys did a back and forth that was really special. I really enjoyed everything that they had to offer in this matchup. But, you know, in the end, it was kind of a surprising series of events here, because you start to think that Bobby Roode is going to get in the third glorious DDT. He is not able to get the third one in. And Drew McIntyre changes things around and gets the Claymore. And one, two, three, he is your new NXT World Heavyweight Champion. And boy, I mean, I thought it could happen, but I was really honestly expecting Bobby Roode to win because of that whole Roderick Strong feud thing going on. So, but you got it. Yeah, that's right. Drew McIntyre is the NXT champion, Sean. What did you think about this?
Well, you know, we kind of, as we talked about when we previewed, that a lot of talk about Bobby Roode, possibly, maybe he's getting a call soon, and that you got to have somebody to take his spot. Drew McIntyre becomes that guy. He's willing to fight anybody. And I've, you know, this match, you could say it's the worst match on the show, a match full of very good to great matches, so that's hard to say, you know, but of course it'll probably continue that narrative for quite a few people of Bobby Roode and main events not delivering that great match or whatever. But I thought, like, especially once you got down the stretch, this got really, really good with the, especially the kicking out of the Roode DDT. That was a big thing, and I really liked the way they did the finish with him blocking that third attempt and then doing the Claymore and getting the win. But these two, I don't know if there's a clash of style there, or just the crowd might have been a little gassed by the time you got to the end, or it's all about the entrance. But I wonder, you know, I've started to notice WWE is kind of telegraphing you who's going to win by who has the biggest entrance in the main event. Because lately, you know, a lot of times it's been Roode, so he wins. This time Roode gets the really normal entrance, and then McIntyre gets the bigger entrance, and he wins. So maybe something to look for in the future there.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, this match sort of followed the classic Bobby Roode match layout stuff, right? Slow to start. They sort of try to drag you in. They build up to some middle stuff that seems kind of important. And then I think really maybe the last 10 minutes is where all the good stuff is. And maybe a little less than that, maybe 8. But from that spine buster forward to Drew doing the toe pick on Hilo, which was freaking insane, to all the big stuff down the stretch. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I thought it built well on itself. And, you know, I mean, there were maybe a few things I would have changed at the beginning to try to help you draw into it. But I think the thing that mostly held people from trying to get into this was the build, right? I mean, they told so much story with Roderick and Bobby that this sort of just came up because Drew had been so dominant. And now Bobby's got to try to face this guy. And even all the way up to NXT, the story's been on Roddy. And I don't think that did Drew a lot of favors here.
Yeah, you're right on that, because the matchup was, you know, cool because of the names, right? Mm-hmm. But besides that, that's all you were hanging your hat on, because really that short time that we've had to spend on really caring about this matchup, it just didn't give it to us. But, you know, in the end, maybe this is because of those other reasons that Sean was talking about. Maybe sitting Bobby out of this and not really worried too much about this short-term situation. I don't know. But, I mean, it was a decent matchup. And you know, it's really cool to see, you know, Drew McIntyre in the WWE ring and holding up a title. I wasn't really sure. Maybe a year, 2 years ago, that was going to happen anytime soon. So now that he's holding this NXT championship, I am just super excited for Drew McIntyre. He deserves every bit of this, and we'll have to see where it goes, you know, because we have this last part that talks have been about certain things. I'll let you guys, you know, kind of talk about if you think it has actually happened or what. But let's mention the fact that Drew McIntyre holds the title up at the end of the show here. Really happy and, you know, doing a celebration. And the next thing you know, you have Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole Bebe show up and start attacking Drew McIntyre and just really putting the boots to him. And, you know, all those rumors about Team Ring of Honor, it seems like they could be true, or maybe they're just doing their own team, but wow. But here we go, guys. I mean, this thing's already getting kicked off with something new with Drew McIntyre. I mean, Paul, I don't know. I thought it was cool.
I thought it was great. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish also came out at the end of the tag team championship match and wrecked shop there too on both AOP and Sanity and left everybody laying, which was great. And then you have this with Adam Cole. This certainly does feel like the Ring of Honor theme stable that they're after. Three really of the top guys for that promotion in the last 3 to 4 years, maybe longer, you could argue, but the crowd was going nuts whenever Cole started coming through the crowd to hit the ring. And it looks like, you know, if you're going to do a sort of like maybe an invasion theme sort of story, there's a lot of talent they signed from that promotion that could fit in well here. And I know there's already talk in the chat that we were in about Roddy switching sides and joining, which I don't think is going to happen. But, I mean, there's so much that they could do with this. And I think that's the really interesting part, is that you have all these sort of WWE built-up acts going on, and then you have a bunch of Ring of Honor guys who have found their way to the promotion. And how is this all going to work out and clash? And I'm just really excited to see what happens, especially with Adam Cole, who I've been a huge fan of for a very long time.
Yeah, you could even have Roddy be on the other side, right? He could be on the NXT side. And even though, you know, these three weren't guys that, like, held him down in ROH or anything like that, you could still make it seem like they did. You know, you don't have to totally tell the truth there, or however they want to spin this, you know. But I like that idea. And then, of course, you could, you know, they have a few other guys, you know, Donovan Dijak and Leo Rush, who still haven't debuted yet. Donovan Dijak, like Paul said in the chat, would work really well there as a fourth guy if you want to add him later. You know, this is where you could build up Hideo Itami more. Or you could build up, Aleister Black or a cast, you know. Where does Cassius Ohno lie in this? Because he's from ROH too. There's various things you could do. Like, and who they want to put in as the main guys that are going to be in this team against Drew McIntyre. Because you'd eventually have to think that it's going to be a thing. I wonder if they allow NXT to have a Survivor Series match on the pay-per-view. And let them do that on there, or they have it kind of be, because you already have that Survivor Series theme, that NXT gets a Survivor Series elimination type match at that show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they go with that. I mean, so should be interesting for these next few months here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. There's so much here that they can do. It's just, what path are they going to take? What matters, though, is this influx of talent that they got, you know, in NXT now from Ring of Honor is so great. These guys are super talented. They've got charisma. They've got something special to add to NXT. I think people are unaware and have not watched Ring of Honor are in for a super real treat with a lot of these matchups coming forward. I mean, I cannot wait for Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish to start doing things together in the tag team division. You know, Red Dragon finally gets to join up and be a part of something when it comes to the WWE. That's really super exciting. And, of course, Adam Cole in that main event picture is going to be a blast. And to see what kind of promos he cuts and just to see all the great thing he has to offer for this company. So, yeah, I mean, really, really excited about that. And I think, you know, Drew McIntyre and, you know, of course, Adam Cole, that's already going to be an A-plus for my book. So, but yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps up NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Now all we have to do, guys, is put a rating on this baby. So let's go ahead and do it. Sean, I mean, what was your thoughts overall on this whole show?
This was another tremendous NXT TakeOver. I mean, it's incredible. Again, I know I feel like I say this every time there's a TakeOver, but that's because it's true. How on earth do they keep topping themselves with these TakeOvers? It's absolutely incredible. Five matches, you know, four of them about 3.5 stars or better. You know, it's not easy, and they make this feel like it's an easy thing to do. And it's not. And, you know, it's to give people a lot of credit, you know, give all those guys and girl and gals credit for, you know, putting on those matches. But obviously, you know, who's going to face Asuka next? Who's, you know, Aleister Black is just mowing through people and looking good doing it. You got new tag champions. You got a new world champion. I mean, I don't know how much more you could ask for from this show other than maybe the main event delivers a bit more. But imagine if it did. We're talking about, I guess, an all-time classic TakeOver, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I got a lot of enjoyment out of the main event personally. I thought the rest of the show was simply phenomenal. The opener and the women's title match probably neck and neck there for match of the night. I'm thinking 8.5. This was a great show, capped off with some great debuts and something that makes you want to watch NXT going forward. And I think that's really what they're after every time they do one of these. And I think they succeed every time.
Yeah, the people are going to be watching with a keen eye to those tapings to mm-hmm. see what happens and how they start formulating this thing with the whatever they're going to do with the main event picture now. But yeah, 8.5. Seems right to me. Yeah, just a little. I don't know exactly what it could have been to make it reach that 9 status, but 8.5 seems right.
You know, for them to get a 9, I think Dalton Castle would have to walk in the door.
You keep saying that, Gary. It's going to happen one of these days.
It could happen one of these days.
It will happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. I'm just putting it out there right now. Me and Dalton have been talking about this. But yeah, I wish. That'd be
Wait,
awesome.
You hold on. You know how you get in touch with Dalton Castle? We haven't had him on the show yet, Gary.
Let's just say restraining orders kind of make it difficult.
Oh, it's one of those. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah. So trust me, you don't want to get into the details. The court. Yeah. Anyway,
we got
think
dark
you guys
at the end of this show.
I know. So I think you guys, 8.5 is a good one, but I don't want to just do the hat trick. I'll just go 8. I think it was great. It was fun and exciting. But, you know, I would like to have to say, you know, I was expecting, you know, some really big things that gave me a lot of big things. But I didn't see anything that just threw me for a loop and just made me so ecstatic. You know, Sean, you pointed out these keep getting better and better, and they really do. But the presentation overall, I don't know. It just it kind of makes you have that just excitement. I turned on the show tonight. I was kind of honestly a little torn because I wanted to watch NXT TakeOver. But, you know, my football team was on preseason football. Wanted to see how they were doing. But TakeOver was so big. It had so many, you know, just exciting things I knew in store. It was just special, so I had to pay attention to it. I'm going to watch the game again. I recorded it. I'm not worried about that. So that's how exciting that they put this thing on. It makes you want to watch it live. It makes you want to get invested right away. And they did it once again. So there you go, guys. Really happy with NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. I'll be looking forward to TakeOver Brooklyn 4. It'll be kind of cool next year, I'm sure. Well, guys, of course, you know, that is our show. We want to let you guys know. Make sure you go check out us all over at W2Mnet.com. And, of course, if you want to find out more of these great review shows, make sure you subscribe to Wrestling to the Max on wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, want to let you guys know one other thing. We are going to be doing SummerSlam. That's right. We'll be talking about it right after the show. We'll also be doing some other great things you're not going to want to miss. Paul and Patrick Hetza and Harry Broadhurst are going to do the Mae Young Classic Bracketology. That's right. So they are going to be breaking that thing down, really getting their stuff in gear to get you going on that. And I'm really excited about that. I cannot wait for the education I'm going to get with those guys on that show. But you'll be getting SummerSlam from us as well. Make sure you go find us and check them out. We may do the SummerSlam thing live, kind of like we're doing this show. But if you don't get a chance to listen live, just go check it out Monday morning on the download. It'll be available. Both those shows will be, and super excited about them. I think it's going to be something I'm hoping awesome. I really hope SummerSlam doesn't let us down. I think we'll get big things, though. All right. Well, we are done. So we'll just let you guys get out of here. And, of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. He is Sean Garmer. He is Paul Leeser. And if you're not living life to the max, guys.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.